Chef Preston Clark, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
I am so happy to have you here.
Thanks.
Your father was Patrick Clark.
Right.
Who was really, I'd say, a legendary chef here in New York City. He was at the restaurant Odeon. He was at Tavern on the Green. And he passed away while you were still pretty young.
Yeah, I was 16, turning 17. So it was just before, because I remember I was right before I got my driver's license. So I was 16, a junior in high school.
Wow. And did you know by then that you wanted to be a chef?
I did. I, you know, I kind of, growing up, I kind of worked in his kitchens, you know, as a child, growing up, you know, first, you know, when I was very young, it was just like making cookies with the pastry chef. And then, as I got older, I found myself, you know, on the pasta station. I actually, you know, had a station. And then I was hired and I was on Garmager. And that's right around the time when he started to get sick. Mm. But I spent pretty much from my young childhood, always going to work. And then once I became a teenager, I started holding down a station.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously that's been a long time ago now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. But you still hold him as a hero of yours.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How would you describe his food or his philosophy on food?
So I would say that, you know, because he grew up, he was born in the 50s, so in the 60s and the 70s, you know, France was very much the dominant cuisine, mm-hmm. particularly for people who were looking for high-end cuisine. And, you know, he studied in France, he studied in England. And when he came back to the United States, I think that he was one of the first chefs to start using less butter and, you know, having lighter food, lighter fare, using, you know, fruit juice reductions and vegetable juice reductions. And so the food was a little bit lighter than, you know, the classical French haute cuisine that was, you know, very, very butter heavy and roasts and things like that.
Right. So give us a rundown. Where did your father cook for those of us who don't know?
So he was the opening chef for Keith McNally in the Odeon. After the Odeon, he opened up a second restaurant with that group. It was called Café Luxembourg. Mm-hmm. And so he worked, he was the chef of both of those at the same time. Then he actually opened up his own restaurant. He was the owner of a restaurant called Metro. And that was right around the time, I think that, you know, I was very young.
Yeah.
But I understand that there was like a financial crash in like, you know, 86, 87, 88, something like that. And so we lived in New Jersey at the time, and we left. And he took over as executive chef of a restaurant called Biche in Beverly Hills, California. So we moved across the country, and I lived in Los Angeles. After Biche, we went to Virginia. He was offered the executive chef at the White House under Bill Clinton, declined, and took a job across the street at a restaurant in the Hay Adams Hotel called the Mayflower.
That's so baller.
Right. And then after the Hay Adams, that's when he took over at Tavern on the Green.
Oh, right on. Did he have a favorite gig? Do you remember?
I would assume that it was probably Tavern on the Green because, you know, that was one of the biggest and, you know, that was one of the more challenging restaurants for him for sure. That, you know, in the conversations that him and I had, because at this time I was a teenager. I was working on the line there. I was able to, you know, mm-hmm. talk a little bit more to him about, you know, knowledgeably about the industry and, you know, what he had done. So I would say Tavern on the Green.
Yeah. That's a crazy chef gig, too, because your father was known for his, like, really beautiful, high, you know, not, like, fancy in the sense that it was fussy, but, like, high-touch food.
High-touch, everything fresh, everything, you know, infinite adaptability. That I don't know how anybody, that you know, I don't know how anybody runs a restaurant like that. That restaurant is huge, and I do, you know,
I'm 1,500 guests
like,
a day?
Like, some, even more than that, I think. I think that was only maybe in one room, because at that time you had, like, the Crystal Room, you had the Chestnut Room, you had a bunch of different rooms in that restaurant, and it was, you know, I run big restaurants now. It's kind of amazing to think of how you can run a restaurant that big and be able to keep the food so fantastic.
Amazing. And, I mean, he is known today as being, you know, one of the, like you said, one of the proponents of what we now call new American cuisine,
yes.
right?
Yep.
It was sort of based on French food, but used American ingredients and used more American traditions. Did you see him sort of developing that idea, like when you were young?
I mean, I don't think I wasn't old enough to understand exactly what was going on, you know, because I wasn't trained in the industry because I was just, you know, in the house growing up as a kid, you know, wrecking stuff. And, you know, I'm the oldest of five.
Yeah.
So we were very much in the house, you know, driving my mother crazy. And and so it's just, it's been, you know, in the past 10, 12 years where I've really been able to, you know, understand and appreciate exactly, you know, what his vision was and what he was doing with cuisine and, you know, and his contributions to the industry.
Yeah. Why do you say that? What did you start to realize?
Well, because I have since gone to culinary school. I learned about all of the different chefs going back, you know, Escoffier, Carême, Paul Bocuse, you know, the different chefs and the different cuisines that they were doing at the same time and how it related to the industry and how it related to American cuisine. Mm-hmm. And then I was able to see exactly where he fit in, you know, based off of, you know, the places that he worked and the, you know, the acclaim and the notoriety that he received.
Yeah. And it's an interesting moment now, too, because I feel like, thankfully, we've seen young African-American chefs really be celebrated in a way that we haven't seen in quite a while.
Right.
Yourself, Eduardo Jordan, Kwame Onwuachi,
right.
Nina Compton, DeLester Miles, all these people have won James Beard Awards, and there had not been black chefs winning James Beard Awards for quite a while. Like your father was
the first one, and there's been maybe 15 years or something like that in between. I don't know exactly how long in between it was, but yeah, my father was the first and there wasn't another for quite some time.
Yeah. And a lot of these chefs today who are leaders today hold your father up in this esteem.
Yeah, very much so, which is awesome. Awesome.
But has that ever felt to you also a little bit like you're in the kitchen, you're in this industry, and has it ever been hard to be, oh, that's Patrick Clark's kid?
Right. So I knew when I graduated high school going into culinary, because I went to the Culinary Institute of America, I knew that I already had big shoes to fill. Mm-hmm. But it's never been a hindrance, if that makes any sense. It's never been a problem. It's never been like a, you know, I mean, of course, there's been some instances of anxiety. Mm-hmm. But nothing that's ever been debilitating, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever feel, though, that you had to, in some way, separate yourself from him or, you know, to be your own person?
Right. You know, I absolutely. You know, you always want to be an individual. And, you know, there is a little bit of a level of, oh, well, you know, you just got here because, you know, you're so-and-so's son or you're so-and-so's daughter. And I don't think that was really the case for me, in a sense that if you talk to any of my peers, that's usually not what's going to come to mind. Because it's always been very important to me to make sure that I was able to make my own way and make sure I was able to, you know, have the knowledge and have the skills and be able to create food and run a kitchen in my own way, not just because because my father was a famous chef.
Yeah. That said, I mean, the industry is really different now than when.
It's completely different. It's completely different. It's completely changed.
When you say you run a kitchen in your own way, do you feel like that's different in the way that he did things or would have done things?
Well, tremendously. First of all, I run my kitchen in Spanish. My kitchen is run completely in Spanish. I do a different kind of food just because of my culinary background. You know, I was able to work with my father, but a lot of my making my culinary bones was with the Jean George company. Mm-hmm. And so I have a lot of Asian influence or, you know, Southeast Asian influence with Thai chilies and lemongrass and kefir lime and things like, you know, different ingredients. So there's a difference there in the food that we do. There's a difference in how we run the kitchen. And, you know, also I didn't have the type of family responsibilities that he does. He had five children. I'm the oldest of five and my mother, and he's married. I have one son. And so it's not the equivalent. It's not the same.
Yeah.
So there's tons of similarities, but there's also tons of differences.
Yeah. Do you know who your father thought of as his heroes? Did he feel like there were people who blazed trails for him?
Oh, that's a great question. I know that my grandfather was a very big influence on him because my grandfather was a chef also, you know, but he came from the Joe Baum era. Mm-hmm. And I think he worked for like Four Seasons or something like that. Mm-hmm. One chef that I know that was definitely very influential in his career was Michel Girard in France. But that's about it. That's a great question. That's a good conversation. I'd love to go back and be able to have.
Right.
Yeah, that's a great question. But I think my grandmother, my father's mother, also played a very big role in his work ethic and him being able to constantly push and and, you know, make the sacrifices that, you know, that you have to make to get to where he eventually was able to get.
Mm-hmm. And getting back to your food, are there dishes that you make now that were inspired by your father that you can feel your father's sort of hands guiding you a little
bit? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. One in particular is this halibut dish. It's a horseradish crusted halibut. And it's actually in his book. You know, he takes it. It's very, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's a little bit older style. It's, you know, it's got frizzled leeks and whipped mashed potatoes. You know, we do a version of that dish where it is a horseradish crust, but the leeks are melted and the fish is slow baked and basted. And then we kind of crisp up the crust and the salamander. So I take some of his initial ideas and then kind of incorporate my own flavor components and then also my, you know, techniques that are a little bit more modern.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, this is another way where you, like, you both change with the times and right. You have to show that
absolutely
you're his son.
Yeah,
you know, you feel
absolutely.
Him in you, but you're your own
100%. And I think one of the greatest things is that some of these original ideas and original techniques, like crusting a piece of halibut with horseradish, is something that is never going to go out of style. You know, it's always delicious. It's like an original composure that will as far as I'm concerned, you know, executed correctly, will always win.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Jeff.
Absolutely.